Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of the Steelers Preview Show. This week has been insane here at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. That includes our podcast, because if you haven't figured it out yet, the Steelers play on Thursday, and that's when we typically do our preview show. So things are kind of haphazard. Things are kind of, I wouldn't say haphazard, that's the wrong word to use, but things are definitely out of whack. So Brian Anthony Davis and myself are on Tuesday. Lance Williams and myself will be back tomorrow on Wednesday for our standard is the standard on our standard time. And then we'll have our postgame show on Thursday, but we'll get to that all later. We're ready to break down the Steelers and Panthers. But before we do that, Brian, welcome to the show. As always, how are you feeling this afternoon, evening?
I'm doing fantastic, Jeff, but I have one question. Where are the tacos?
The tacos?
Promised me Taco Tuesday if I would come on, and there were no tacos at my house. I feel like I'm ready to walk. I'm going to go join Le'Veon Bell, wherever he is right now. I mean, all that I know is I'm going to say fair, F-A-I-R, well, to you if I don't get my tacos soon, my friend.
I'm glad that I'm not the only person that noticed that when he bid farewell or adieu to South Beach that he misspelled the word. So I mean, that might be the website editor coming out of me, but I saw that. I was like, oh, come on, man. I mean, you have to spell check on your phone, right? Like when you type it in, the little red line goes underneath saying I've misspelled a word. Yeah, screw it. He's going to send it anyways. But you know what? He's holding out for $40 million guaranteed, and I'll never see that much in my entire life. So, hey.
So what's two tacos?
Exactly. All right. So, folks, if you're new to the show, what we do here on the Steelers Preview is we basically take a look at the upcoming game. We give you some key matchups to watch. Sometimes they're very specific, like player versus player, and sometimes they're a little bit more vague. Normally against NFC opponents that the Steelers don't play very often, they tend to be more on the vague side, just so you know that. But it doesn't mean that the information will be any less valuable and any less pertinent. We'll also go into fantasy football in terms of this matchup, who you could possibly start or sit. And then also we get into predictions. We'll look at the AFC North, the rest of the games going on this week, and predict those as well. And at the end of the show, if you have questions and you're watching live on our YouTube feed, feel free to fire away those questions. Now, before we get started with the key matchups, good friend of the show, he is a contributor to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Dave Schofield. He is the guy. Now, if you haven't read his stuff, I highly recommend that you do. But he's the guy that gives you the number crunching articles, the by the numbers articles. And he has this really interesting, unique take on looking at statistics. Different than me, different than most people, because most people will just look at one stat, see something black and white. He always takes it the next step further. He was the one that pointed out that last week, this is kind of insane, he had texted me this, that the Steelers up until this past Sunday in Baltimore had never beaten the Ravens in Baltimore in Ben Roethlisberger's career when the Ravens were 500 or worse. It's insane. And so he showed me the stats that when they are 500 or worse, the Steelers had lost every single game. But when they had a better record, the Steelers' record against them was much better.
It's absolutely amazing.
It's one of those things where like, that's nuts. But it was, hey, he does his homework. So here's some stats, some nuggets for you for about Thursday Night Football and about the Steelers and Panthers coming up. So he writes, although Ben Roethlisberger is 8-5 in his career on Thursday nights, he is 6-0 at Heinz Field on Thursday night games. He's thrown 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and has rushed for 3 touchdowns in those games. Okay, for the last 2 Thursday night games the Steelers have played, they are 2-0. That's 1 at home and 1 on the road. They have outscored their opponents 68-24. Ben Roethlisberger has 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Antonio Brown has been targeted 19 times for 15 receptions, 235 yards, and 6 touchdowns in those 2 games. Those are some crazy stats right there, but there's more. The Carolina Panthers are 2-2 on the road on Thursday nights. They are 0-2 against an AFC opponent. They lost to the Steelers 27-3 in 2010. The Steelers have played a Thursday night game every year since 2006. Although Ben Roethlisberger is undefeated, they did lose a home game with Michael Vick. That was the Thursday night game against Baltimore, coming off the then St. Louis Rams game where Ben Roethlisberger was injured. Vic started. That was the Josh Scobie debacle. So they did lose that game, but Ben Roethlisberger is undefeated since 2006 on Thursday nights. So I'll tell you what, those are some good statistics for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you think about those, Brian?
You know, those are great statistics. That means Pittsburgh is very good on Thursday night, and it wasn't always that way back in the 80s. They used to struggle on that night. 90s came around, and they started doing so much better. Now you're seeing them more and more on Thursday night. It's a must-see TV night for Steeler fans, so that's what you do. And I want to throw in another stat: color rush uniforms. Team is 2-0, wearing those color rush uniforms and looking pretty good every time they wear them. So last year they just decimated a playoff team, the Tennessee Titans, on Thursday Night Football wearing those same uniforms. So hopefully that will be the same.
Steelers stuff aside, I've always felt it's very, very difficult for the visiting team on Thursday night. Now, Carolina to Pittsburgh is not a long flight. They played at home last week, and they won their game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Pittsburgh Steelers did travel last week, but again, flying from Baltimore to Pittsburgh is not a long flight at all.
I do that every day.
Exactly, but I don't feel...
Not flying.
Right, if you drive it. But I definitely feel that the visiting team has what's the best way to put this? They're at a disadvantage, considering the fact that the Steelers are able to go through their walkthroughs. They're able to be in their own beds. They're able to be at home with their families. And think about I can't even fathom, and I'll say this before we get started, as a website editor and someone that juggles a ton of content for BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, I struggle just being able to kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together, because typically in an NFL week, and this goes for coaches too, you have the game that was on Sunday, you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where you're still kind of recapping that game, and then you start turning your attention to the week ahead. Now all of a sudden you're trying to recap Sunday's win over Baltimore, a huge win. And then you got to turn your attention to the Carolina Panthers. And this is my first question for you, Brian. Do you think that so far the Steelers are 5-2-1, that the Carolina Panthers are the toughest test for the Steelers to date?
I do. I completely agree with that. And that's what Tony DeFeo and I were talking about last night on the Steeler Hangover. This is a very tough team. And getting back to your point about struggling putting it all together, I just got to tell you, as a complete slacker and a total train wreck, I have trouble just putting my pants on sometimes. So, and finding my keys. So I understand where you're coming from there, yeah. Jeff. But yeah, no, this is, to me, this is a division game. And the reason I call this a division game is these teams are so similar. And, you know, they play every single year on Thursday night. It's the last Thursday night of the preseason. And some of these guys are bagging groceries when they do it. But they need to know they know each other pretty well. This is one NFC I think the Pittsburgh Steelers know better than anybody, because they see them annually right before the season starts. So, you know, I mean, and with the stats, and I know that you've looked up Carolina stats and Pittsburgh stats, they are very close. These are two teams that are so close together in the stat rankings that it could be a toss-up. So if they can get through this team, and I was talking to Tony about this yesterday, if they can get through this team, I think they go all the way through to New England or New Orleans before they lose again.
Yeah, the Steelers have some tough games, but like you said, there's certain things that are guarantees in life, you know, death, taxes, and the Steelers and Panthers meeting in week 4 of the NFL preseason. That just seems to always be the deal. So let's get right into things. Steelers, Panthers, again, NFC opponent, although there is some familiarity because of the preseason matchups, a lot of fans, including myself, I don't really pay attention to the NFC that much. I'm always glued to the AFC. I know how the teams like the Patriots, the Chargers, some of the other front runners in the conference are doing. Definitely the AFC North. You have to know what they're doing. But I don't pay attention too much to the NFC. I'll watch highlights, and I'll watch a game if it's going to be a big, good game that I think is going to be fun to watch. But other than that, I don't follow them too much. So let's go ahead and give you some of those rankings and statistics on the defensive side. And then I'll let you talk about the offensive side, Brian, just to give people some idea as to what to expect. And then we'll go ahead and go into our key matchup. So defensively for the Carolina Panthers, in terms of yards per game, they rank 11th, giving up 344 yards per game. Now, out of that yardage, they're pretty good against the run. They're 8th against the run. They average 94.1, giving up 94.1 yards on the ground. Passing, they're 19th. They surrender 250 yards per game through the air. Points per game, they're tied for 12th. They average surrendering 22.5 points per game. Brian, what do you have for them on offense?
On the offensive side of the ball, you've got Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, and Greg Olsen, and they are putting up very good numbers. Offensively, they are ranked 13th in the league, and how close they rank next to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's defense is 12th in the league, so that's really interesting. Those are two teams that are really close right there in that stat. So 371.6 yards per game for Carolina is what they're ranking. Passing-wise, Cam Newton's not big passing. He's more of a threat passing the short stuff to Olsen, rushing the ball, but they're 22nd passing with 227.8 game. But here is the key stat on offense. They are the second ranked rushing team in the National Football League at 143.9 yards per game. That is a lot of chunks of grass being ripped up by McCaffrey and those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the stat that jumped out to me. And so let's get into key matchups. Last week, I gave you the glory and let you go first. I'm not doing that again this week. It's a short week. I need to take my punches while I can. So I'm going to say that it's the Pittsburgh Steelers pass rush versus the Carolina Panthers pass protection. The Panthers have done a tremendous job protecting Cam Newton, and I'm already looking on our live feed on YouTube, and a lot of people are saying the same thing, and I agree with them 100%. You have to hit Cam Newton. You got to get to him. You got to hit him. You got to make it physical on him. You can't give him time to sit back there and pick and choose what he wants to do. In other words, you can't let him say, am I going to run? Am I going to throw? Do I have time? You make him make split decisions. That's when he makes mistakes. That's when you can kind of, I hate to say get in his head, but my goodness, we've all seen it happen a lot with Cam Newton. They ranked 27th, and that's a good ranking, by the way, in terms of sacks surrendered. They've only given up 12, and Pittsburgh's given up 11. So Brian mentioned how eerily close these two teams are in a lot of different categories, and that would be another one. So the Steelers, in terms of getting sacks, they rank up in the top 5 of the NFL. They're going to have to get to Cam Newton. They're going to have to hit him. And they're going to have to make sure that he doesn't have the time to read the defense and then to, when things start to break down, escape. I've said it before. If you are watching this or listening to this and you're old enough to remember when the Steelers played guys like Michael Vick, they always said the same thing. And you could even go as far as saying this about Aaron Rodgers, someone that's mobile enough that they can hurt you with their legs. You have to cone them in. And what they meant by that is the outside pass rushers cannot get taken up the arc. And that's scary because Bud Dupree gets taken up the arc a lot. Now, he hasn't as much in the last 2 weeks. But again, he's been playing some relatively subpar tackles, we'll put it that way. If he gets taken up the arc, that leaves a very clear running lane for Cam Newton. And he will tuck the ball and he will run it. And he will do it efficiently. He will move the chains. It's those type of plays that can just break your back repeatedly. So the Steelers' key number one for me is to put pressure on Cam Newton, and I will also throw in, you have to keep him in. Someone just mentioned on the live chat, you need to put a spy on him. I agree with that. I'm not sure who that might be. Maybe LJ Fort. That would be a tough task, especially on a short week, to try to figure that out. So that's my key matchup number one. What do you have, Brian?
Maybe Morgan Burnett as well could possibly spy that arena as well. My number one matchup, I'm going to go ahead and look at the Steeler rushing game. You know, they are only ranked 22nd in rushing with 101.6 yards a game, and they're going against a very good rushing defense. As you mentioned before, they're 8th, only giving up 94.1 yards a game. James Conner, He needs to get going. And the guy that I probably think that he's going to see a lot of is All World, Luke Kuechly. And, you know, you're going to see Kuechly going after him quite a bit. I could see that being some good mano-a-mano matchups, you know, in the middle of the field. So if James can get going, and I know I say this a lot, but he sets up the pass. And we really didn't think he was going to do it last week against Baltimore. And if he could do that against a Baltimore rushing defense, look what he could possibly do against someone that is good, but not as great as what Baltimore was. He really helped win that game last week. He is one of the MVP's offense. And James Conner, if he does the same thing once again, then the Pittsburgh Steelers have so much more of a chance to be successful. So look at Conner versus Kuechly.
That's going to be a good matchup. I remember in that 2010 game, I'm sorry, it wasn't 2010. It wasn't on Thursday night. It was when they played them in Carolina, 2014, I believe.
14. LeGarrette Blount was in that game.
Yeah, but that was the game Le'Veon Bell went off. And there were times
it was a Sunday night game.
Yeah, and it looked like Luke Kuechly was running in sand. And so James Conner has the burst, and if he can get the holes, if they can get to that next level, I'll tell you what, I think they can run on anyone. Anyone. I don't care. They just did it against Baltimore. They did it against Cincinnati. They can run on anyone if they commit to it. We'll get to that in a second. I'm going to stick with the Steelers offense for my second key matchup, and that is going to be the Steelers no huddle. If you haven't heard, reports are coming out that with the short week, with them not being able to really game plan a lot, the Steelers are going to rely on their no-huddle offense to possibly be their primary mode of transportation. And you know what? I like it. I like that idea. I like that thought process, because you're not only going to give Ben Roethlisberger the chance to read the field, but you're going to hopefully, the key word is hopefully, maximize your matchups when you talk about them, the Carolina Panthers, being able to substitute defensively. So I like the fact that the Steelers would go to the no huddle, but there's a caveat with this matchup, and that is they have to stick with the philosophy. It's something that Brian almost alluded to, pretty much did. They have to give James Conner the carries if they want to actually have a balanced attack. The no huddle is great, but Ben Roethlisberger cannot go into pass happy mode unless they're down by 21 points and they feel they need to do that to get back into it. They are good enough to do both. They need to do both. I like the no-huddle approach, but I want them to keep the philosophy that has won them four straight games. That's my key matchup number two. What do you have, Brian?
Well, let's go to a running back once again, but on the other side of the field, Christian McCaffrey. This guy, when he was drafted eighth overall last year, he was considered by some to be, you know, a chic pick who rose up the charts towards April, the end of April, and not everybody was completely sure what you were going to get with him. Well, this guy's the real deal. So far this year, he has 502 yards on the ground for 4.6 yards a carry, but this is what makes this guy so dangerous. 49 receptions out of the backfield. You've got to watch this guy. The Pittsburgh front seven has to be all over this dude to even have a chance in this game. I think this is the best offensive weapon that this team has. Christian McCaffrey, I believe, is number 22, and shut him down. You're going to have to if you need to have a fighter's chance in this game.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey is a unique beast. He's kind of like a modern day player, but at the same time, he's kind of a throwback. Fun to watch, not when he's playing against your team, but he's fun to watch. So yeah, that's a really good point. I'm gonna go with my third one, and this is kind of two for the price of one. We'll give you a Tuesday special out there, and that is Ben Roethlisberger protecting Ben, and the Carolina Panthers don't really get to the quarterback that much, although Mike Tomlin made the Carolina defense sound like the second coming of our Lord and Savior on Monday during his press conference, saying, basically, I don't know why we even show up because they're that good. They are ranked 19th in terms of getting to the quarterback. They have 21 sacks. That's not bad. That's also not elite. They need to keep Big Ben clean. They've done so the last four games. I also think, if you want to throw another one in there, is the Steelers cannot turn the football over. They didn't do that against Baltimore. They had a clean ticket, but look at these numbers. The give-take ratio for the Carolina Panthers, they are ranked fourth in the NFL. They have a +8 turnover ratio. They've only had 7 turnovers, and they've had 15 takeaways. This is a team that thrives on the takeaway. You cannot give them extra possessions. Stick with the philosophy. I said it last key. Stick with the philosophy that's been winning you games. You don't always need to take the deep shot. Convert on third downs. Win time of possession. Convert in the red zone. And everything else will take care of itself. That's my third. What's yours, Brian?
Well, you know what? Real quick, you mentioned how Mike Tomlin makes everybody, especially Carolina this week, sound like the Lord and Savior. I wrote this in an article, I think about a week ago, how he confused people during press conferences. If I ever get in trouble with my wife, I want to befriend Mike Tomlin, because he is going to have her forgetting completely about it and having me look awesome if he just sticks up for me. So that's something I'm on that letter writing campaign right now. That's what I think of Mike Tomlin. But as far as things go, let's go to the offensive line of the Pittsburgh Steelers again, but let's single out one guy. Now, all year long, this unit has been pretty good. The Munch Bunch has really come together in the last 4 weeks, a whole lot better than they had before. So you mentioned those 11 sacks that they gave up. 9 were in the first 4 games. They've only given up 2 the last 4 weeks. So then a guy like Marcus Gilbert goes down, and then you're like, oh no, here we go. We're going to bring an unknown in. So they bring in number 71 from Bloomsburg, Matt Filer. They call him the anchor. And now I know why. This guy is playing very good football. And the only reason I really know his name is because I listened to the audio broadcast on the Pittsburgh Radio Network the other day. And they were just praising him up and down. And then I went back and watched the game again. And I was like, this guy really has it going. It's another Mike Munchak reclamation project, a young guy. Now, this young guy is going to go up against an old feller. Julius Peppers is going to be on that defensive line. And you have other guys on that defensive line, like Dontari Poe, these older players, Thomas Davis, a linebacker. So the young bucks against the old savvy veterans. But I think Matt Filer is the one guy that we need to continue to keep it going, to just go ahead and watch Ben's front side and really, you know, anchor that line, just like his nickname says.
Matt Filer, Magic Mike Munchak. He's at it again.
Magic Mike.
That's the latest one right there.
Don't want to picture him shirtless in a bow tie. Stop that.
I didn't say to do that. That was you on your own. Now you take that for what it's worth. Okay, so there you have your key matchups, and everyone else can have their own. These are just what we have in our mind, what we think are going to be important factors in this upcoming game. Now we turn our attention to one player, could be on either side of the ball, could be on either team, that could really turn the tide in this game. Brian, I took the first matchup. I'll give you the chance to have the first player to watch. Who are you taking as that one player that could really turn the tide?
Here's the deal. Big things come in small packages. 5'9", Mike Hilton has become a leader on this defense. And Mike Hilton needs to keep it going. He needs to hit like a truck like he does for such a little dude. But he is all over that field in as that slot defender, that slot corner. If he keeps it going, that is going to get you a turnover. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not have a whole lot of turnovers as far as interceptions in the last 4 weeks. That's actually the one category that they've regressed in. Their defensive backs are secondary. They do not get interceptions. They need to get them. And if one guy is going to come up with a key pick, I think it's Mike Hilton. And he's the guy that I'm looking for to have a big game.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, I'm looking at the giveaway takeaway statistics. The Pittsburgh Steelers are tied for 21st with -3. And I want to say that they're the only team with a negative giveaway takeaway ratio that has a winning record. So that's remarkable. I know that was true going into week 9. I'm pretty sure that still holds true today. If I'm going to pick one player, this may sound like a gimme putt in golf, but hear me out. Antonio Brown. We have not had an Antonio Brown type Antonio Brown game And what I'm talking about is that game where he has 11 catches for, I don't know, 140 yards, two touchdowns, a game that he just takes over. Hasn't happened. Early in the season, it was because Roethlisberger and he were just not even close to on the same page. Since then, he's gotten his touchdowns, but he hasn't gotten his receptions, hasn't gotten his yardage. I'm looking at a defense that's coming in ranked 22nd in the NFL, giving up 227 yards a game. I think that this might be a game that Antonio Brown might have. You know, national TV, you know he's going to step it up. He's that type of guy. This might be one of those games where Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown, if you know what I mean. So that's who I'm going to take. I'm going to say Antonio Brown is the player to watch for the Pittsburgh Steelers because he has been great, and he's scored 9 touchdowns already this season. But at the same time, I think you'd agree, Brian, he hasn't really been Antonio Brown.
Jeff, you sunk my battleship. That was my fantasy player of the game. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you 108,000% because he's going to go off. If he's going to go off, he's going to do it on Sunday Night Football, on Thursday Night Football, on Monday Night Football. He loves his audience, but he's itching to have that game where he dominates. I'm looking at this defensive backfield in Carolina. Eric Reed's good. He's controversial, but he's good. But this guy against these corners, Bradbury's just coming back from an injury, a groin. This guy, Antonio Brown, could definitely exploit this defense and just go A-B crazy. A-B equals C, and it's Antonio Brown, his clutch.
Hey, I like that. That could be a T-shirt.
But
you know, someone in our live chat, because I was talking about Antonio Brown, then you piggybacked that as we transitioned to our fantasy football talk. They said they're double teaming Brown. That's why, you know, alluding to the fact that he hasn't had that breakout game. I'm sorry, and I'm not demeaning you in any way, shape, or form, but if you think that 2018 is the first time a defense has ever thrown two defenders at Antonio Brown, then I suggest that you save your money, get NFL Game Pass, go back to 2015, 2016, 2017, watch teams not just put two people on him, but three people, and him still put up the numbers. Okay, this is not new to Antonio Brown. Him getting extra attention is not new. And I don't want to hear that Martavis Bryant's gone, blah, 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 all that stuff, because Juju Smith-Schuster is probably, in terms of a complete receiver, a bigger threat than Martavis Bryant was when he was with the Steelers. So this isn't new. Antonio Brown is due. It's not just his fault. Ben Roethlisberger shoulders a lot of blame. But at the same time, I agree with Brian. My fantasy start is Ben Roethlisberger, because Ben Roethlisberger, I read some of those statistics at the beginning of the show. If you didn't check those out, make sure you go back and check it on a podcast form. Ben Roethlisberger's clutch in certain situations, and a lot of times that's home on prime time. We've seen him throw 6 touchdowns before. We've seen him throw for over 400 yards multiple times. I'm not saying it's going to be a yardage game. This could be a touchdown game. So for me, especially if you're I know FanDuel does that. I don't play DraftKings or anything else like that. FanDuel will do your one game special play in regards to what they do is they'll say, like on FanDuel, you can pick any players within a certain allotment. They'll give you, I think, 2 receivers, a running back, a flex, and a quarter or one player that could be an MVP.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun if you haven't done it. The MVP gives you 1.5 more points.
Yeah.
It's a multiplier.
And, you know, the week I did it and I won was Vance McDonald's stiff arm, because I actually had Vance McDonald because he was cheap. And I was 750th out of 12,000 that week. And I won a few dollars. It was just fun to watch. So I'm doing that more and more with these standalone primetime games.
Yeah, and the thing is, for me, is I think Ben would be perfect for that multiplier. I think he's going to get the yardage. I think he's going to convert, because this offense is the antithesis of last year, where last year they couldn't convert in the red zone. This year they are. I don't have the stats in front of me. I wish I did. And that is just that the Steelers red zone conversion rate is in the top five, I believe, in the National Football League. So I say fantasy start Ben Roethlisberger. Brian, who are you sitting in this game?
Jeff, without a doubt, and I give this to you, and I don't want you to tell too many people because this is my lock of the season. Do not start Le'Veon Bell. You're not going to get any points out of him this week. But
okay, yes, shut up. I mean, what are you really saying?
Woo! All right. Anytime I fluster Jeff, I love it. No, seriously, you know, this is tough because the Steelers' offense is really, it's rolling right now. It would be easy for me to go ahead and say James Conner, and easy for me to be wrong because of we were thinking that last week. But
you were thinking that last week.
You did it. You're the one who called it.
No, I didn't.
You called it. Like, no, yes,
I started him in my FanDuel league. You got me like 30 points.
Okay, we need to go back and chat. We want to check replay on that. I'm throwing the red flag on you. I wish I had one. Now, I said, no, get the tight ends. We were talking about how stout they are over the middle. I do like their safeties. I do like Keekly in the middle. I like Thomas Davis there. So let's go ahead and not start Jesse James or Vance McDonald this week. I don't think that these guys are going to go off. I think the receivers of Pittsburgh, Juju, and definitely AB, and even James Washington have a better chance of having a great game receiving-wise than the tight ends.
You know, I was going to say Vance McDonald for all the reasons that you just mentioned, and I've actually played him on FanDuel for the last, I've played him not every week, but he seems to be a manageable price, and you always think of that Monday Night Football game, and could he have that big catch and run that's going to get you a lot of points? So, but I'll go ahead in a different angle here, and I'm going to say that if I'm a fantasy player, and I'm not just looking at this as a Steeler fan, I'm going to sit Cam Newton. I don't know what it is. The Steelers have played Cam Newton not a bunch, but it seems like every time they play him, he just does not perform well. I could be wrong. Wouldn't be the first time. But if you're in the daily fantasy league, I would definitely go Ben Roethlisberger over Cam Newton. But at the same time, we'll see. I like the Steelers' pass rush. I think that it could be effective enough to get Cam off his game. So that's who I say. I say sit Cam Newton. If we're going to go with, I agree with you though. I'm not going to sit Juju. Definitely not sitting AB, Ben, James Conner. All those players are viable options to me. And so I could go the Brian Davis route and say, just sit Ryan Switzer.
Hey, that worked.
Or sit Chris Boswell. But I'm not going to do that. I'll give you a big name, sit Cam Newton. So there you have it. So right now, I'm not sure if the line has changed, but the opening line was the Steelers are 5.5-point favorites at home against the Carolina Panthers, coming in 5.5-point favorites.
Four.
It's down to four?
Down to four.
Okay.
As of today.
I figured it would, but I wasn't 100% sure, so that's good. 4-point spread now, Steelers giving four. What's your prediction in this game?
Gosh, I've gone back and forth on this, Jeffy. I don't know. I originally, on the hangover, went 37-33 Carolina because this team worries me. But the more and more I thought about it, the more that I've realized that the Pittsburgh Steelers are still on that roll, and I really believe in them. So I'm going to go ahead and flip that and go ahead and go 37-33 Pittsburgh. The one thing, they're going to score a lot of points. I think both teams are going to put up a lot of points. You're definitely taking the over. I don't see it being like last week, a 23-16 game.
You know, a lot of this talk about the offense and stuff, is it might be a little flipped from passing to running, but it reminds you of when the Steelers played another NFC South team at Heinz Field, and that was the Atlanta Falcons. And everyone said, oh, this high-flying offense, and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Devontae Freeman came back for that game, and Matt Ryan, and this team's, it's going to be a high-scoring affair. Well, what did the defense do? I think they held them to 18 points. In their four-game, in the Steelers' four-game winning streak, no team has scored more than 18 points. That's noteworthy. I think it's time that some of us give the Steelers defense a little bit of credit. Now, granted, Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns offense is not, you know, stymieing them to 16 points or whatever they had is not something to write home about. But at the same time, it's an NFL offense and you're doing your job. But I do think that 18-point streak gets broken this week. I think that the final score, my prediction is Steelers 34, Carolina Panthers 26. 34 to 26. I think that the Panthers are going to have to kick a lot of field goals. I think that the Steelers defense will hold strong enough. And I see the Steelers winning five in a row. They get a little bit of an extended break prior to their week 11 game against Jacksonville, which will be all jacked up for. You know the Steelers want revenge on that team, but that's a talk for another time. So Brian and I both take the Steelers. We both have them going over 30 points, which they dipped down underneath that last week, but that's okay. Let's go around the other games in the AFC North just quickly to see who you like there. I think the biggest game, obviously, would be the New Orleans Saints going up north to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. The Bengals are coming off a bye week. Who do you like in that game?
New Orleans. It's what is it? Who dat against who day?
That's dumb.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what the Saints do.
No, I know. It's just
and, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's terrible. But, you know, here's the thing. I watched the game with New Orleans and Los Angeles last week. And, you know, right now, they're basically half game behind them. And the only reason a half game behind them is they had a bye and Los Angeles didn't. But right now, when it's all said and done, if they continue one loss, the number one seed in the NFC would be the New Orleans Saints all of a sudden with the Rams going down to a loss. I think this New Orleans team is on a roll. I think that offense is just absolutely amazing with a legendary performer in Breeze and Alvin Kamara, who has won me a lot as far of cheddar, and he did it last week in FanDuel, which you failed to mention, my second place finish. But you know what? I mean, Cincinnati, I think that train stops now.
Yeah, this is a tough game. It's on paper, it's run to the window and put your money on New Orleans. But there's a certain things that give me pause. They're coming off a bye week. The Bengals are a team that just sometimes they just won't die. You know, you hope they just die. Old Yeller, you got to take it out behind a tree and just put it out of their misery. Pittsburgh's done that many times, but a lot of times they just won't die. I was willing to say that the Bengals were going to win this game up until I found out that AJ Green is not going to be playing. Losing AJ Green is going to be tough. That's going to be really tough. If you're trying to match blow to blow with the New Orleans Saints and that offense, you're going to need all of your weapons, and missing your best weapon is not going to be a recipe for success. So for me, I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints win. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Bengals are getting injured. Carl Lawson, their pass rushing specialist, is out with the year with the ACL. So they're getting beat up. Even though they're coming off a bye, I'll take the Saints to win. And if the Steelers can win on Thursday, they advance to 6-2-1. If the Bengals lose, they go to 5-4, I believe. Would really put some distance. I think I speak for all Steeler fans when I say that we all hope that that Week 17 game in Pittsburgh against Cincinnati means absolutely nothing. And so that would be a good first step in that direction. Now, Brian, unless you have something else to say about that game, who do you think Falcons at the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going to go with the Falcons here. I'm not going to go with my upset special over the Chiefs like I did with Cleveland last week, which I just did to see you get frustrated and call me an idiot like you did. But I think the Falcons are back. I think Cleveland is damaged. They're weary. They're down.
Yeah, they're playing hard, and I think they're going to be better. If there was an upset pick of the week, maybe I'd take Cleveland at home against Atlanta, but I'm not picking an upset pick of the week, so I'm going to take the Falcons here. I think that, like you said, they obviously go out and win it. So there you have it, folks. This is interesting for me. I'm looking at these slate of games here, and all three teams that are playing, the Ravens are on a bye week, play NFC opponents, NFC South opponents. That's pretty unique. I didn't see that. So, okay. let's open up the questions. We have some time here at the end of the show. If you have a question for the show and you're watching live on our YouTube feed, fire away. We'll answer them in rapid fire. And when they dry up, we'll end the show. But while we wait for some questions to come in, I definitely want to let everyone know that if you haven't checked out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, do so. 10 articles a day. It's a ton of content. It's not all, we're not one of those sites that steals content from other sites. It's all original stuff. So check it out. And if you haven't signed up for our subscriptions for other podcast platforms, we're talking iTunes, Art19, Stitch, Google Play, Spotify. Go there, subscribe so that you get all of our audio content. That's really, really important. So, okay, questions are rolling in. You ready, Brian?
Hit me.
All right, here we go. From Kevin Colbert, the GM, is always a regular on our show. He said, what would it take to win the division, do you think, this year? Let's talk win total. How many wins is it going to take to win the AFC North?
Really? I think 10.
Okay. I'm going to say, because it would be 10-5-1 because of the tie. 11-4-1. I'm going to go 11. I will say 11. I think 10, you might be mixing it up with the Bengals. And I don't want any part of that. Daryl asked, what are the keys to victory this week? Daryl, we went over that at the beginning of the show, man. So check it out on podcast tomorrow. We line that out. Basically, in my opinion, if I'm going to give it to you really quick, it's can the Steelers run the ball and can they stop the run? Pretty much that's what I think. Okay, let's see here. Do you think that Artie Burns will ever recover, or do you think he's pulling a Jarvis Jones?
I think he's pulling in Artie Burns, and I hate to say this because he's such a lovely person, but I think he's done. I think he's damaged as well.
Yeah, I don't know. The cornerback position is a position that you have to have a lot of confidence. If you lose that confidence, it's difficult to get it back, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. Artie Burns has the skill set. He has the talent. He has those tangible tools. What he lacks right now is the confidence. Jarvis Jones didn't have anything, so I'm not going to compare him to Jarvis Jones. Jarvis Jones had an inflated college statistic line, but he was not an NFL pass rusher, period. So here we go. Question about your boy, Matt Filer. How much better do you think Marcus Gilbert really is than Matt Filer? And then also tax on, whatever happened to the fullback in Roosevelt Knicks? Go ahead and answer the Filer question first.
You know what? I think Matt Filer is really good, but I'm still going with the pedigree of a Marcus Gilbert. I think Marcus Gilbert is, I think his time in Pittsburgh is winding down. I'm not saying this year, but maybe next year. You're going to start to see some turnover on that offensive line pretty soon. So this is going to be a good transition. But I really think that number two pick from 2011 is, I was down on him at first, but he's got his footwork together, and he should have been to the Pro Bowl a couple times in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, Filer is a run blocker. He's an anchor. That's what they call him. But the Steelers are smart, and Mike Munchak is really smart in terms of how he deploys his guys. He has his issues. Marcus Gilbert, when healthy, is one of the better right tackles in the NFL. In terms of the fullback question, Roosevelt Knicks, the Steelers love to run out of the shotgun. That's you can't put a fullback on the field when you're in the shotgun formation. So especially with Ben's finger being broken, you noticed against the Ravens, they were under center a lot less, probably because that didn't feel too good. So they're in the shotgun more and more in the no huddle, which they plan to run more of. They're going to be in the shotgun even more. So that definitely nullifies Roosevelt Knicks. Now, a lot of people say, hey, get down to the goal line. Why isn't he going in? Sometimes when you put a fullback in the game, it's kind of like a red flag of what you're going to do. Whereas if you're in the shotgun and you have three wide receivers, or you have two wide receivers and a tight end, you have options, and the defense doesn't know what to do, and they can't just load the box. It's all about that chess match. And so that's my answer for there. Snowman asks, will Boswell get his head on right? You think he'll rectify his issues, Brian?
I thought he was back, and there you go again last week. Wide right every single time. You know, this is the first time we've ever seen this happen. You just talked about confidence with Artie Burns. Maybe Boswell needs to get his confidence back. I see it. You know what? I don't feel like he grips on field goals as much as he grips when he goes to kick an extra point. So I'm wondering if it's just in his head and he has to just get some kind of a slump buster. And if you go back, if you YouTube Mark Grayson slump buster, you might know what I'm talking about. And it's not suitable for work, but maybe that's what Boswell needs.
I think it's more mechanical with him. If you watch his misses, they've all been to the right. Kicking a ball is very similar to hitting a golf ball. And I know that Danny Smith, the special teams coach, has actually spoken about how they've tried to make some changes to his approach, to his alignment, to his follow through. That all has to do with the spin on the ball, which all has to do with where the ball goes. So when the ball slices away, there's certain things that he's doing that are causing the football to do that. That's why you see sometimes Vinatieri was always great at this. He would kick the ball and you would think, he missed it. And then what you see, it just comes right back in between the uprights. They're playing it that way. It's the same as a golfer hitting a draw or a fade. It's the same thing. So I think Boswell can get it right. He needs to get it right soon. That's for sure. Mark asks, why did the Steelers get flexed from primetime against Jacksonville in week 11? I'll go ahead and answer this quickly. Jacksonville's 3-5 entering week 10. They're coming off a bye week. It's a disappointing year for them down there. At the same time, they wanted the Bears and Vikings, which is a huge NFC North matchup, in primetime. I'm not going to complain, because as someone that has to stay up late after and do work about the game, it's a late night. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning East Coast time when I'm going to bed. But I also understand there's a lot of people that don't have Sunday ticket like I do, that don't get every single game, and that's one less chance they get to see the Steelers. So I understand some people's frustration, but at the same time, that's why I wouldn't be stunned. Keep an eye on week 14, their game against Oakland in Oakland. Oakland's only won one game. I would not be stunned. Brian, I don't know if you've checked the other slate of games, if there's a better game on primetime. I wouldn't be stunned if that game gets flexed out too. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's definitely going to go. But the Steelers are going to get flexed back into primetime most likely when it comes to the San Diego game on December 2nd. So they're already talking about that. I looked at that slate of games, and I believe it's San Francisco against Seattle that night, and Pittsburgh, Los Angeles is ripe for the picking. So they're probably going to be -2, because no one's going to watch the Raiders with a one-win team. But I think they're going to go ahead and put Steelers Chargers back into primetime. So we'll lose two, but we're going to gain one back.
I disagree, because there's already a report out that CBS has protected the Chargers game, the Saints game, and the Patriots game, meaning that the NFL cannot flex those out into primetime. So the CBS CBS or Fox might have protected this is the Saints game, because that's a visiting. No, that's Pittsburgh is in New Orleans. That's a CBS game. Those three games were protected. I'm sure you didn't see that report yet, obviously, but they cannot flex that game. So,
oh, well, I did not see that.
I'm not sure if they will be getting one back. I thought about that. And week 17, if you don't know, there is never a Sunday night game scheduled until the week prior, because they typically want that Sunday night game to be a win and in situation for the playoffs. So
they don't even schedule that. Yeah. You know what? Mark Cabali just let me down, because I read his tweet and I was all excited as I regurgitated his tweet. And now
Bert Lawton, who's the director of the PR staff for the Pittsburgh Steelers, then corrected Cabali and stated that just earlier that day, and Cabali didn't know it at the time, that's CBS has protected those games. So those games will not be moot. Yeah, I hate to burst your bubble. Kind of enjoy it, but I hate to do that to you. All right, let's go next one here. Do you think that Le'Veon Bell is going to return, and do you even care? Go ahead, Brian.
You know what? At this point, I do care. I actually am one of the few that would still welcome him back with open arms, with the caveat that he is a second stringer and better get used to it, and bring him in and get situations, but he's going to have to come back if he wants to go ahead and get credit for the rest of this year. So the deadline is the 13th. It's 1 week away. I think he's coming back. Once again, farewell Miami. It's got to mean something.
Yeah, the latest report is that he's in Pittsburgh. Couple of the two guys that run our social media feed say they I don't know where they find this stuff, but he was playing basketball in LA Fitness and
I saw that.
In and around Pittsburgh. And rumor
I
is,
saw the picture. There's a picture.
Report is that he's in Pittsburgh now. He's not showing up this week. He's gonna go to the Ohio State Michigan State game and he'll report next week before the week 11 game against the Jaguars. Which leads us to another question. Does Bells even make the offense better? And how do they use him if and when he comes back?
Well, he's better than Steven, right? You know, I mean, you bring him in. Maybe sometimes you have them both on the field. And if he's on the field, you got to account for the guy. I mean, that was the big knock on James Conner early in the season, that he wasn't as accountable as a Le'Veon Bell. Now you have to account for James Conner. And if you throw in 26 back there, you got to account for both of them. But if Conner needs a breather, yeah, you know, I mean, you bring him in and it's just as lethal. You can never have too many weapons. And hey, these guys are grown men. And the front office, they're business owners. And if you could go ahead and have another attraction or something that could possibly make your team better, then you're going to do it. The key to this whole thing is one man, and that's Mike Tomlin. And I have full trust that he is going to go ahead and juggle this and work this situation the right way that is best for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you have to have some trust there. And here's the thing. I did a radio spot today as a station, ESPN station in San Diego, and they asked me about Bell and how do you think the players will respond? I don't think the players care at this point. They were pissed off after week one when he didn't report when he said he was going to. But since I think now it's the point where they might actually look forward to him coming back, because then they wouldn't have to answer stupid questions about him anymore. Hey, you want to ask him? Go, he's right over there. Go talk to him. Don't talk to us. Go talk to him. So that might be a little bit of a relief. And is getting an all-pro player back a bad thing? Unless the Steelers try to do some really stupid two-back scheme, I don't think they're going to start him right away. James Conner has proven that he's capable, but having two capable backs when this is a team that, my goodness, how many times have we seen a running back, Le'Veon Bell, get injured down the stretch and kind of screw the team? It's not his fault. You know, you think about the groin pull in the AFC Championship game. You think about the knee injury in 2014 in Week 17 against Cincinnati. All these times where, for crying out loud, in 2014 in that AFC wildcard game against Baltimore, they picked up Joshua Harris is one running back, and they picked up the former Brown. What was his
name?
Ben Tate. I mean, my gosh, you picked up a guy off the street because you had no one that you thought was capable. So you know what you have in James Conner. He's had a lot of touches so far this year. If Bell comes back, they work him in. They kind of utilize both to their strengths. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We'll talk about that as it comes up. But at the same time, he's not there. He's not there this week. So there you have it. So, Brian, is there anything you want to say to the fan base before we call it a show?
Don't stop believing. Don't stop shalieving. This team has found themselves. They are on a roll through Carolina. I feel that they can. Then they are going to continue to roll. Despite tough games, this team is exactly what we hoped for when this whole season started. They're here.
Yeah, and they control their own destiny. That's the biggest thing. They control their own destiny at this stage of the game, which is after a horrible start. That's all you could ask for. And so this is a game. If they can win this game, they get to sit back, get that mini bye week, so to speak, before they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, would really go a long way. But again, make sure you stay with us. If you missed the Steelers Hangover with Brian and Tony last night, go back and check it out on any of our platforms, not YouTube, but any of our audio platforms. Tomorrow night, myself, Lance Williams, for The Standard is a Standard, we will talk about all the burning topics. We'll do our true and false segment. We'll give our predictions, although I just gave mine. And then also, after the game on Thursday, we'll be there for our post-game shows. So check us out. Check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. We'll see you next time on the Steelers Preview.
Hey, everybody. It's Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Vergecast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bohn. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Vergecast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check it out.